And a good March Sunday afternoon to you. It's Easter month. Easter's coming. And I hope that today you've enjoyed a great day of being in the presence of our Lord to worship Him and to hear from Him, and that you've been enjoying a day of resting with your family and your friends. Hi, this is Dr. Doug Cowan, Director of Ministry here at KAXL. And for the next 30 minutes, we're going to consider together some of the prayer requests that have come into our offices over this past week. So let's spend some time together to pray, to listen to music, and to take a few minutes to look at some topics of importance for you and your family. Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Let her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will have always with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. As we approach this Easter season, as we approach this Passion Week, let's prepare our hearts for this. And let's do something beautiful for Jesus, something that Jesus would look at and say, "You have done something beautiful for me." "I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised. According to all the Lord has done for us, yes, the many good things he has done."
Richard has been diagnosed with cancer. We want to pray for him, as well as for all of you listening who have received this diagnosis and are moving forward with treatment. Ashley delivered twins recently, and she suffered from some serious medical problems. She's now back home with her husband and babies, but we want to pray for her and her family that God would bring healing and strength and bless this young family. Jerry just had lung surgery and is recovering. May God grant her health and strength. God is still here, and God is still at work in our lives. In the last 2 weeks, we've heard Miko's testimony of how God healed her from stage 4 cancer following the prayers of some faithful women who came and prayed for her. And we're reminded just this past week that Cheryl was also healed of stage 4 cancer. What a great and powerful God we serve.
We'd also like you to be in prayer for your pastor and for all the pastors around the county. Right now, they're preparing for their Easter Sunday services, their Easter Sunday messages. And you know, that Easter Sunday message, well, that's usually one where people who only come to church on Easter and Christmas, they'll get to hear the good news of the risen Christ. And it just may be the day that many give their hearts to our Lord Jesus. So pray that God's Spirit will move with power in services all over Kern County.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem. Saves you by his grace and crown.
So here is Jesus. He has come as the King. He has established the kingdom of heaven. It is here among us. It is here on the earth. The King has come. Here is Jesus, showing us what the kingdom of heaven is like. And it's not like we would think. It's not like the conquering king. It's not like the way that Rome rules. Rome rules by conquering other countries. Rome rules by blood. Rome rules by force. And here is Jesus. He comes, and what does he do? He heals people. He loves people. He casts demons out. He drives back the kingdom of darkness. And he says, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. And you are citizens of that kingdom. You are ambassadors of that kingdom. And here is the king, and nobody quite gets it. And here is the king who comes riding into Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday. He offers himself as king, riding on a donkey. Behold your king, says the prophet, riding on the donkey, coming into Jerusalem. And here is Jesus as the king. And it's just 1 week before he's arrested. And we have a pretty good idea of what Jesus does during that week. The Gospels give us a really good account of what Jesus does. He's in the Jerusalem during the daytime. He's out of Jerusalem at night. He's staying in Bethany. He stays with friends out there in Bethany. Comes back into the temple area every day. And we see all of these accounts in the Gospel of Mark, Gospel of John. We see these accounts of what Jesus does during this period of time, during this week before his arrest and crucifixion. And so one of the accounts that Mark tells us is of Jesus when he's out at Bethany and he's having dinner at somebody's house. This man, his name is Simon the leper, is the way that he's described in Scripture. And we don't really know who Simon is, although he's an interesting kind of figure. And I have a couple of these details, and I don't want to get too bogged down in these details. But for instance, Simon the leper, his name might actually be something closer to Simon the jar maker, because those two words actually look the same in that original language. So it might not be the leper at all. How about that? And who was Simon? Well, we know from the Gospel of John that this Simon the leper, or the jar maker, or the merchant, that this one Simon is somehow pretty tied in with a couple of different characters. One is with Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, because this is where Martha is doing the serving and Mary is just hanging out with Jesus. They're somehow tied in there. And according to John, it is Mary herself is the one who is bringing this alabaster jar and this offering to Jesus. And other scholars actually think that this one Simon, that it's actually Judas Iscariot's father. And that's an interesting thought as well, because that would certainly make this whole passion story of Jesus with Judas Iscariot betraying Jesus all the more interesting if Jesus is actually having dinner at his dad's house. And here is Mary, who may actually be a relative, coming and anointing Jesus. We don't know. There are a lot of details we don't know, but people try to fit these pieces together. There are a number of people named Simon mentioned in the Scriptures in the New Testament, but this guy apparently was important enough for Jesus to be there. And so here it is. Here's Jesus. He comes to this house. He's at the home of this man, Simon the leper. He's reclining at the table. It's just 2 days before he's going to be arrested. And in comes this woman that John says is Mary, the sister of Lazarus, and does this. It says, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Now, you'll remember, it's just two stories back, that there is the woman, the old widow, who comes to the temple and puts in her two little pennies, or half pennies, into the treasury. And Jesus, seeing this, says of this woman, she's given more than all of these rich people who have given out of their abundance, out of their surplus. She's given everything she has. Literally, she's given her livelihood. She's given her life to God in this offering. And so here is this woman who comes to Jesus and has this very expensive offering. According to those watching, it is worth a year's wages. What is that? $25,000, $30,000, $50,000, $70,000? I don't know. And she doesn't just pour a little bit of it. She pours the whole thing out on Jesus. And Mark wants us to see a couple of things here in his writings. And one is, here's this old widow who's giving everything she's got in her life. She's giving her life as the offering at the temple. And then right in between that, Jesus passes judgment on the temple. Jesus says that the temple is going to be destroyed. Not one stone will be left unturned in the temple. And then the very next thing that we see is this woman comes and doesn't give the offering to the temple. She gives this offering to Jesus. She pours this out on Jesus. Jesus replaces now the temple as a place or object of worship. Some of those present were indignant at this. That's an interesting word, a strong word that Mark uses. They were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Now, one of the things I notice about Mark's writings is there are very few times that the men in the room really get who Jesus is. The disciples just don't understand who Jesus is. But it's these women who come along who do understand it. It's the lepers who understand who Jesus is and put their faith and trust in him. It's the people who are demonized who put their faith and trust in him. It's the people that you would look at in terms of the society up and down, who's at the top of the food chain and who's not. It's the people at the bottom who get who Jesus is, but even the disciples traveling with Jesus don't yet get it. So here they are rebuking this woman for giving this awesome act of worship to Jesus, this awesome sacrifice to him. And Jesus says, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The very next thing that he says is, the poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. Now listen, we don't use that as an excuse not to take care of the poor. Oh, you'll always have the poor. No, not at all. Look up Deuteronomy chapter 15, because that is what Jesus is quoting here. And it's an entire passage on how important it is that we take care of the poor. We take care of the poor. And God is telling Moses to tell the nation, you will always have the poor among you, so you will always take care of them. And here are some ways to do that. Jesus is simply quoting that passage in Deuteronomy here. He's not giving people an excuse because we'll always have the poor. Another thing to note here is what Jesus says. She has done a beautiful thing to me. This is a passage that was very influential in certain people's lives, one of them being Mother Teresa. Her theme was, let's do a beautiful thing for Jesus. And she noted that where Jesus was when this happened was at Simon the leper's house. And so she made it her calling in life to work with the poorest of the poor and to do things that Jesus would look at and say, you have done a beautiful thing to me by serving the poor, by caring for the lepers, by taking care of those that nobody else would take care of. This Jesus counts as a beautiful thing. How about you? So what are you doing today, tomorrow, this coming week, this Passion Week? How about you? Is there something that you can do to help the poor, to help someone who's needy, to help someone who's hurting in such a way that Jesus would look at that and say, you have done a beautiful thing for me, a beautiful thing to me by helping this person in my name. Think about this. Who can you get up and go help even now? That Jesus would say, that's a beautiful thing. Who can you call on the phone? Who can you help in some way this week? And Jesus would say, that's a beautiful thing you've done for me. Then Jesus says, she did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Now the disciples must have been stunned to hear this. First, Jesus talking about his burial. What's that all about? Aren't you going to be the king? I mean, we're still not getting this, the Son of Man has to die thing. And there he is talking about, I am going to be buried, and she's preparing me for that. Well, then, verse 10, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus. Now, there's one of these old, not biblical, not scriptural writings, but it's really interesting. And what it says is, you know, Judas Iscariot would dip into the money bag One of the Gospels tells us that he would steal from the money bag. And this ancient writing says that, you know, he would take 10% out of the money bag. 10% was the number that they used. And that's really interesting because this perfume, a year's wages would have been something like 300 pieces of silver. So if he's figuring that, wow, that just cost me my cut, which is going to be 30 pieces of silver, well, he knew where he could go get that 30 pieces of silver because that was the price for Jesus' head from the high priest. And that's exactly what he got paid, 30 pieces of silver. So Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. And they were delighted to hear this, and they promised to give him money, 30 pieces of silver. So he watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. Can you imagine being that guy? Oh yeah, I'm the guy who betrayed Jesus. Well, let's not let that be true in our life, that we do anything that from heaven's point of view, somebody'd be saying, you know, you just kind of betrayed Jesus there. I mean, Peter betrayed Jesus, what, three times? But he was restored. And here's this one, Judas Iscariot, never restored, never sought restoration, never sought to repent and get things right with God. Instead, he ends up going out and killing himself. Hey, let's just look at our own life. Instead of, you know, maybe we do this or that, that from the throne of heaven might look like we're betraying Jesus. Hey, stop that. Let's do something that's beautiful for Jesus. What are the things that we can do that would put a smile on Jesus' face? And let's seek to do that through this week, this beautiful Passion Week, as we prepare our hearts for Good Friday and prepare our hearts for Easter Sunday. He is risen. He is risen indeed. God bless you.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Well, here at KAXL, we're working hard to expand our ministry reach, and we're partnering with several outstanding ministries around Bakersfield, around the county. And we know that the good news of Jesus Christ, when it's broadcast on the radio, can travel into places like homes or businesses or cars, hospital rooms. It can travel through doors and walls. It can go places that other types of ministries simply cannot reach. KAXL is able to reach people with the gospel because we're a radio station. And now we're expanding our ministry by providing seminars and workshops to local churches, churches like yours, as a way of strengthening your family and your church, and to try to reach into your neighborhood better. We're offering for free marriage workshops, parenting classes, even stress management seminars. The size of your church doesn't matter to us. In fact, we really want to help the many small and medium-sized churches in Bakersfield or Delano, Shafter or Tehachapi, where the pastors are working hard to care for their flocks and reach into their neighborhoods, but they just don't have the time to put on one of these seminars. We'll do it for you. In fact, tomorrow night, I'll be at Dr. Jan Mensink's office. It's called The Practice on F Street. I'll be there at 6 p.m. doing an hour workshop on ADHD in adults. Hey, you're welcome to join me. Come on down, 6 o'clock. We'll be there for about an hour. If you'd like to know more, give us a call. I'll take you to Starbucks. I'll tell you all about it. And I do want to thank you for supporting the ministry of KAXL.